Well, good morning, church. Good to see you today. I missed you last Sunday morning. Good to be back with you again today. I was in Oklahoma last week preaching at a former pastor of mine that was a church that was celebrating their 125th anniversary. I want to thank Dr. Clayton Clower for preaching for me last Sunday morning and Brother Rick Miracle for preaching for me last Wednesday night. I've had a great time. But it's good to be back with you today. I'm in the book of Revelation. Would you open your Bible, please, to the second chapter of the book of Revelation. And I've come to verse 18, so I'm going to ask you to look there with me, please. The revelation, just to remind you, is the unveiling of Jesus Christ. And so what you find in these chapters is Jesus, and we're seeing him like we've never seen him before. In the second chapter and in the third chapter, Jesus is walking in the midst of his churches, and he's sending letters to those seven churches. There are four of them that are found in chapter two. I keep getting two and three mixed up already this morning. Four of them in Revelation chapter 2, and then there will be three more in chapter 3. These are churches that actually existed in the day of John the Apostle as he writes, but they're also representative of all churches, so they speak to all of us today. And that's why when you come to the end of each of these letters, he says, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit said." It's been my prayer that the Holy Spirit of God is speaking to my heart and also to your heart, that we would hear what Jesus is saying to his church. And so today, I come to the fourth church, the church at Thyatira, and it's found in the latter verses of chapter 2, beginning with verse 18. I'm going to ask you to join me in standing as I read our text today. It is a rather lengthy text. Thyatira was the smallest of the seven cities that are addressed in chapter 2 and chapter 3. But Thyatira receives the longest letter of any of the churches. And so it begins in verse 18 and it goes all the way to the end of the chapter. Listen to what Jesus says. He says, "Unto the angel of the church in Thyatira write, These things saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. I know thy works, and charity, and service, and faith, and thy patience, and thy works, and the last to be more than the first. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication, and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. And I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. And I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he which searcheth the reins and hearts, and I will give unto every one of you according to your works. But I say unto you, I say, and unto the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, and which have not known the depths of Satan as they speak, I will put upon you none other burden, but that which you already hold, fast till I come. And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of a potter shall be broken into shivers, even as I received of my Father. And I will give him the morning star. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Father, today, help us to hear what you have to say to your church. Father, I pray individually that you will help every believer in Christ today to hear what you have to say. And Father, I pray that we collectively as a church, that we will hear what you have to say. And so we ask you to speak through these verses today. And God, I pray that we will hear what you ask us to do, and our answer today will be yes. For I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Well, my preaching through the Revelation has brought me to chapter 2 and chapter 3, and I've been looking at these seven churches, and I've been looking at them one at a time. And today we come to the church at Thyatira. I'm calling the church at Thyatira the lenient church. It may be that a better description of them would be that they are a tolerant church, that they are tolerating some things that they ought not to tolerate. That word tolerant is a prominent word in our world today, especially in our country, as we're told to be tolerant of other people. The word actually in my text where verse 20, when he says, "Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel." The word "sufferest" there in the King James is oftentimes in the modern translations used the word "tolerate." "Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee because thou tolerates that woman Jezebel." In many translations, that's the way it is worded. It is a word that means to permit or to allow. You are allowing this woman to teach in your church. I said to you that a better word might be tolerant than lenient, because the church at Thyatira was tolerating sin. And although, you know, we hear a lot about being tolerant today, God does not tolerate sin. And his church should not tolerate sin. And so the message to the church at Thyatira is a relevant message to the church of today. I have more to say than what you have time to listen today. And so let me just try to real quickly give you in verse 18 there a description of this church at Thyatira. The Bible is silent on where this church came from. We don't know who founded this church, how it started. We know in our Bible that many of the churches were started by the Apostle Paul. And this may be what happened at Thyatira as well. I would remind you of Acts chapter 16, verses 13 and 14, which describe to us how many churches started because Paul was in the city of Ephesus at that time. And in Acts 16 it says, "And on the Sabbath day he went," Acts chapter 19, verse 10. Acts 19, verse 10 says, "They continued to the space of 2 years, so that all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus." All in Asia. So there were many churches that started probably because of that. However, now Acts chapter 16. You can listen to me again. Acts chapter 16. Paul was in Philippi. And whenever he came to Philippi, it was the Sabbath day. It was a time, the Lord's day, time to go to church. And they did not have a synagogue in Philippi. And so you may recall that Paul, he went outside the city and by a river, and there was a group of ladies that were having a prayer meeting there by that river. And the Bible introduces us there to a woman by the name of Lydia. That will ring a bell to some of you today. And in Acts 16, as I was trying to read a while ago, a little ahead of myself. Verses 13 and 14, it describes this lady by the name of Lydia, and it describes her by saying, "And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, worshiped God." It may be that whenever Paul came there to that river and Lydia was there, her heart was open and she believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says she was from Thyatira. So it seems to make sense to me that maybe she was there because she was a seller of purple. Maybe it was a business trip that had taken her to Philippi. And when the business was over, she went back to her hometown of Thyatira, and it just may be that Thyatira was founded or begun by this lady by the name of Lydia. And so she came, the Bible says, Jesus is writing to the church at Thyatira. He describes himself as the Son of God, which is the only time in the book of the Revelation that Jesus is described as the Son of God. As a matter of fact, in Revelation chapter 1, he's described as the Son of Man, which is the most common term that Jesus used to describe himself. It speaks of his humanity when he calls himself the Son of Man. But he also, now he calls himself the Son of God. That speaks of his divinity. And so what Jesus is wanting them to know, he's not coming to Thyatira to comfort them. He's coming to Thyatira to condemn them because of their sin. He also says that his eyes were like flaming fire. That means his eyes are piercing. His eyes see everything. You do understand, right, that there is nothing even today that Jesus does not see in you or in me. The Bible also says that his feet were like fine brass. Fine brass speaks of judgment. So whenever you see the introduction of Jesus Christ to the church at Thyatira, he's coming to them with judgment. Now, there's much more that probably needs to be said, but I don't have time to say today, but I want you to know that he's coming to Thyatira, which was a city that was lots of trades that were there, leather workers that were there, pottery workers that were there, all kinds of businesses that were there. The purple dye was oftentimes found there as from the root of a plant, or sometimes from the shell that they had gotten out of the water. And so it was a very prominent place for businesses, which is a good thing. But the problem was, every business had its God, little g. Every business had its God. Every business had its deity. And if you worked for one of these businesses, then you were expected to bow down and worship that deity, which put those who were believers in Christ in a dilemma, right? And so the church there was trying to live in this environment in the city of Thyatira. Now, as we look at this church today, there's three simple things I want you to see today. I want to begin there in verse 19 by talking a little bit about what Jesus has to praise this church about, and I call it the praise of their tenacity. So look in verse 19 with me for just a moment. I want to spend as little time there as possible because I want to get to point number 2, which is the primary point of the whole letter to the church at Thyatira. But first of all, the praise of their tenacity. And you'll find that there are several things, 5 of them actually, that Jesus praises them for. Number 1, he praises them for their labor. As a matter of fact, he begins like he does with all the churches. I know thy works. Every church, he says, I know thy works. The works means I know your energy. I know your labor. I know what you are doing. And so they are a very energetic church. As a matter of fact, you might notice even in the latter part of verse 19, he says it again, and I know your works. And then he says, and the last to be more than the first. What Jesus was saying was, I know that you are working harder for me now than you did when you first joined the church, when you first got saved. You're working harder now than you did when you began. That's one of the ways that you know that this was not a Baptist church. Because most Baptist churches, people start out working really hard, and then they fizzle out along the way. Am I preaching or not? Isn't that the way it happened? But yet the Bible says about this church and their labor, they were energetic, serving the Lord, and now they're even serving Him more than they did before. So He praised them for their labor. Secondly, He praised them for their love. He also said, I know about your charity. It is the Greek word agape, which is a familiar word for those of you who study your Bible. It is a word that describes God's kind of love. It is deep, constant, sacrificial, selfless kind of love. It is God's kind of love. It's the same word in John 3:16, for God so loved the world. It's the same word in Romans chapter 5, verse 8, but God commendeth His love toward us. And so He was saying to them, He said, you are a loving church. You may recall, or you may not, the first church, the church at Ephesus, I call them the loveless church, because Jesus said, I have this against you because you have left your first love. So the church at Ephesus, they didn't love like they used to. But the church here at Thyatira, He says, you love. You love Jesus. You love the Word. You love the brethren. You love the lost. They are a loving church. And then He also says to them, number three, He praised them for their leadership because He says, and I know your service. Service. It is the Greek word diakonos, gives us our English word deacon. What are deacons? They are servants of the church. They are leaders in the church. And Jesus says to them, I know about your service. They didn't serve out of duty. They served out of devotion. They were serving the Lord because they wanted to serve the Lord. Again, that's another way that you know this was not a Baptist church. They weren't the kind of church that said, oh no, this is my day to serve in the preschool. Oh no, this is my day to work security. Oh no. That's why we're Baptists, right? Oh no, we got the oh no's. They weren't like that. I mean, they were saying, oh boy, it's my day to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And they were doing it better than they've ever done it before. Number four, He also praised them for their loyalty. He said, also, I know about your faith. It translates a Greek word that really means your faithfulness. I know that you are a faithful church. It means that you are dependable. It means that you are trustworthy. It means that you are consistent. I know that you are a faithful church and faithful church members. They weren't hit and miss. They were not up and down. They were not in and out. They were faithful to their church and to their Lord. They weren't the kind of people who were there every other Sunday. They weren't the kind of people who showed up if there was nothing else going on. Somebody asked me what I was going to do this morning. Last night, I think, somebody asked me, said, what are you going to do tomorrow? Oh, I don't know. I might stay at home, watch Meet the Depressed or something like that. No, it's Sunday morning. I'm in the Lord's house. That's the kind of church this was. They weren't CEO Christians, you know, CEO Christmas and Easter only Christians. They weren't that kind of church member. They weren't faithful to the Lord as long as it's not hunting season. I'll be faithful as long as it's not football season. I'll be faithful as long as it's not summertime. I'll be faithful as long as the leaves aren't dying up in the mountains and I need to go watch them die. They weren't that kind of church member. They were the kind of church member that they were loyal. They were faithful. And then he also says, number five, he praised them for their long suffering. He said, I know your patience. The word patience there means you endure. It means you persevere. It means even during difficult times. I know about your patience. I know you're serving the Lord. The word literally means to abide under. And what that means is, that is, even whenever you're being pressed by tribulations, you are abiding. Even when difficult times come, you have been faithful. You hear what I'm saying? He was saying, he said, you didn't quit church just because you had some hard times. You didn't quit coming just because somebody said something, or somebody didn't say something, or somebody did something and didn't say something. You're not that kind of a churchman. You are faithful. You persevered even during difficult times. And whenever things got bad, you didn't just decide, well, I think I'll move my membership somewhere else. You know one of the reasons why they didn't do that? Because there wasn't anywhere else to move their membership. Some of you, perhaps like me, I grew up in towns like that. Little church in my town, it was the First Baptist Church. We could have called it the only Baptist church. And then whenever bad times came, there wasn't anywhere else to go. You couldn't just go down the street or across town. By the way, there's something good about small towns, because it makes you stay whenever other people would leave, and you have to work through it, and you grow in your faith because of that. So this was the kind of church that they didn't just fall apart whenever there's difficulty. I remember several years ago, I was driving through the mountains of North Georgia, and I went by a little town, and it said First Baptist Church. Just down the road, I saw another sign that said Harmony Baptist Church. My Baptist preacher mind thought, I know where that came from. They had a division in First Baptist Church. And so somebody got mad at somebody. And so they went down the road. They started another church, because this is the way we do as Baptists. So we couldn't get along with them. So we go over here. We name our new, we got a new church. We're going to call this one Harmony Baptist Church. You know how I know that's true? Because just a little further down the road, there's another church. You know what it was called? New Harmony Baptist Church. That's the way it works, folks. And Jesus was praising their tenacity. He said, no, you're not like that. I know about your work. I know about your charity. I know about your service. I know about your faith. I know about your patience. And I know that you're working harder now than you ever did. You love more now than you ever did. You serve better now than you ever did. You're more faithful. You persevere through all the difficult times. Let me ask you something, West Side. Going through all of these churches that we're looking at, you ever just stop and think, if Jesus was writing a letter to Westside Baptist Church, I wonder what he would say. Well, if he did like all these other churches, he'd begin by saying, I know your works. And he would say that not only to the church, but he'd look at every individual. I know about your work. I know about your work. I know about your work. Even if you're on the back row in the balcony, I know about your work. I know about your work. I know everybody's work. I know everything about you. And Jesus looked at them, and he gives them a praise of their tenacity. It's a good church, right? A good church. But listen carefully. Now, when you come to verse 20, it all changes, right? It all changes whenever you come to that word in verse 20, notwithstanding. That lets you know something's up, right? Notwithstanding, in spite of all those things, now he tells them what I call the problem of their tolerance. Let me just say two quick things about it. Number one, the woman they tolerated. Verses 20 through 22, the first part of it talks about the woman they tolerated. There was a woman in the church called Jezebel. Now let me just say to you up front, that was probably not the woman's real name, but it was probably what the church called her. You tolerate or you suffer this woman called Jezebel. The reason why I say that's probably not her real name is because people don't name their daughters Jezebel anymore. Boy, I hope I'm right on that. I'm kind of looking around. I actually went online last night. I thought, all right, let me see if there's anybody named Jezebel besides this woman named Jezebel in the Bible. And hey, listen, I couldn't find anybody on the internet that was named Jezebel. And you know, if you do it online, it's got to be true. Probably not her real name. But there was something about her that reminded them of a woman whose real name was Jezebel. Now, folks, this is not a sermon on Jezebel, so I don't have time to go into all the biblical discussion about Jezebel, but I do want to read you a passage of Scripture. For those of you in the room today who you might say, I don't know who Jezebel, I don't know who that lady is, or you might say, I've heard of that name, but I don't remember her. So let me just give you a snippet, if you will, of a passage of Scripture so that you'll know who Jezebel was. It's found in 1 Kings chapter 16. I'm going to begin reading with verse 30, and I want you to listen as it introduces us to a man, a king by the name of Ahab, and his wife whose name was Jezebel. Listen what it says about both of them, but our focus is upon Jezebel. Verse 30, 1 Kings chapter 16. And Ahab, the son of Omri, did evil in the sight of the Lord above all that went before him. Would you just stop there for just a moment? All who went before him, if you know anything about your Bible, those who went before him were some bad dudes, all right? They were bad. And the Bible says that Ahab did evil in the sight of the Lord above all that went before him. He's worse than all of them. So Ahab wasn't a good guy either. But this isn't about Ahab. The Bible says, and it came to pass that he took to wife Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Zidonians, and went and served Baal and worshipped him, or worshipped Baal. And he reared up an altar for Baal in the house of Baal, which he had built in Samaria. And Ahab made a grove, and Ahab did, here it is again, and Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel that were before him. Now let me just say this to you about Jezebel. Jezebel, who her father's name was Ethbaal, his father was named after the pagan god Baal. And so she was a king's daughter. She now marries King Ahab. And the Bible says that she introduced Baal worship to the nation of Israel. How did she do that? Well, I'll tell you what she did not do. She did not say to the Israelites that you need to put your God aside. Just put your God aside and we're going to worship Baal. That's not what she did. What she did was, she said, you can continue to worship your God, but I'm going to bring in my God as well, and his name is Baal, and so we're going to let you worship your God and my God. And all I'm asking you to do, are you listening? All I'm asking you to do is just tolerate this pagan God. Just tolerate this pagan God. And it was through that compromise, that calling people to just be lenient and let's worship this pagan God instead of alongside the God of Israel. And by the way, what happened was Jezebel became Satan's agent to lead the people of God away from the one and only true God. She was a wicked, vicious, perverted woman. And she was not telling them, don't worship your God. Here's what she was saying. Just be more broad-minded. Just be more tolerant. There are some people today who are so broad-minded, their brains are falling out. And that's what she was asking them to do. Just be inclusive. Just be tolerant. And Jezebel corrupted the people of God. So in spite of all those wonderful things he said back in verse 19, Jesus said, notwithstanding, I've got something against you. You tolerate that woman, Jezebel. Now, I've taken way too long, so let me just say this quickly. What was it that Jezebel did? Well, number one is that they tolerated Jezebel to teach. The Bible says, and by the way, she called herself a prophetess. That is, that she said that she was inspired. And so the church was tolerating her to teach. And whenever Paul was writing to young Timothy, he said in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, that the role of the pastor, teacher is a man. He said, if a man desire the office of a bishop, and the word bishop can mean pastor. If a man desires the office of a bishop, here's the first problem. They tolerated a woman to have the role of a pastor. And the Bible says the role of a pastor is for a man. And by the way, whenever you read the Greek text, there are some Greek words that can mean man, that can be woman, and there's some Greek words that can mean man or woman. Interesting enough that whenever Paul wrote to Timothy, the word that he used was the word that means man and only a man. As a matter of fact, he went on to say in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2, he said, a bishop must be blameless, the husband of one wife. In spite of all that you hear in our mixed up world today, if you're going to be the husband of one wife, you have to be a man. A woman cannot be a husband and a man cannot be a wife. Just doesn't work. And so what they were doing was tolerating a woman to be the pastor. That doesn't mean a woman can't teach, but it does mean, according to the Word of God, that a woman cannot be the pastor, cannot be an evangelist. As a matter of fact, there are some who believe that whenever he says, and you tolerate that woman, that the woman, some translations say, it can mean wife. So it could be that they were allowing the pastor's wife to fill the role of the pastor, or maybe that they were, even what we hear in our world today, they were the co-pastor and the pastor's wife preaches from time to time. I'm just simply saying today, that is unbiblical. And so Jesus says to them at the very beginning, he said, you have tolerated that woman Jezebel. It's not just what she did, but what she taught. For the Bible says she taught the people to commit fornication and to eat things that were sacrificed to idols. The Greek word for fornication, sometimes in your Bible, sometimes it describes premarital sex, sometimes it describes adultery, sometimes it describes homosexuality. And so it is a word that is used to describe a multitude of what the Bible says are sin. And so she was teaching the people that it's all right for you to commit fornication. And number two, is all right for you also to eat meat that was sacrificed to idols. You remember what I said, that all these businesses, hey, had their own little deity, they all had their own little god? This is a little bit different. This is even worse than going to your Christmas party and everybody's drinking and they want you to drink too. This is like you going to the Christmas party and everybody's worshiping a pagan god and they want you to worship the pagan god too. We got meat that was sacrificed to the idols, and we're gonna eat that. We're gonna be involved in idolatry, and then we're also going to be involved in immorality. There's going to be some sexual orgies that are going on. And Jezebel was saying, that's okay. She probably said things like, you know, it's the culture of the day. If we're going to survive, if we're going to get along, you have to go along, you know. And so we're going to have to be more tolerant of people who don't agree with us. I'm simply saying to you, toleration is all right, but you cannot tolerate sin. And so Jesus says you are tolerating that woman Jezebel to let her teach to begin with, and she's teaching the people to do two things that God does not want them to do, and that is idolatry and immorality. And by the way, those two things go together in your Bible all the time. Idolatry, immorality. If you're not worshiping God, then you're worshiping idols, and following after that is going to be immorality. What's happening in the good old USA today, we got many people who do not worship God. They don't know God. They don't love Jesus. They don't love the Word of God. They're involved. If they're not worshiping Him, they're worshiping someone else or something else, and so we've got idolatry, and that's why we have a lot of immorality too. And so Jesus said, that's what's going on. And then he also said, I gave her space to repent. It means I've called her to repent, and she would not repent. And so he said, I'm going to cast her into a bed. I don't have time to talk about all this, but some translations use the little in italics, it'll say a bed of sickness. And it could be that he was saying, because they carried sick people around on beds. Remember that? They would bring them on couches and on sofas to where Jesus was or where Peter was to be healed. And so I'm going to put her in a bed of sickness. Some translations use the word, it really means a coffin. What does it all mean? It means God called her. God told her to repent. She wouldn't repent. She's history. It's over. But then he all goes on to say, not only did they tolerate the woman, but also, just quickly, the warning they were told, that is, those who were going along with her, they were in trouble too. Because he said, and those who go along with him. By the way, earlier he's talking about his children, now he's talking about her children. Her children. He said they're going to experience great tribulation. Now he's not talking about what you maybe think about, the great tribulation, capital G, capital T, tribulation, that will be found in Revelation chapter 6 through chapter 19. That's not what he's talking about. When he talks about great tribulation, what he's saying was, she's going to have, those who follow after her, they're going to be in big trouble, and they're going to have severe punishment as well. What's the point of all that? The point is, Jesus wants a pure church. Jesus doesn't want the church dabbling in sin. Jesus doesn't want the church tolerating sin. Jesus wants a pure church. And so he called them to repentance, and they would not repent. And because of that, judgment was coming upon them. One last thing, quickly. Look at verses 24 through 29. I just simply call this the promise of their triumph. And I found three things here that Jesus said. There are some of you in the church, you don't tolerate Jezebel. There are some of you in the church, you're not going along with all this idolatry, immorality. There are some of you in the church who are still being true. And he said, I'm going to give you three promises. Promise number one is the promise of the return of Christ. He says it there in verse 24 and 25. Jesus said, for those of you who are not going along with it, I'm not going to give you any more burden than what you already have. It's burden enough to have to put up and live with Jezebel. So I'm not going to put on anything on you. I'm just telling you, he said, notice this, he said, just hold fast till I come. Till I come. Did you hear it? Till I come. It's the first reference in the Revelation to the rapture of the church. That's the first reference that Jesus says, till I come. That's the first time he said, I am coming back. So he said, I hung on to the promise that Christ is coming again. Lift up your head. Your redemption draweth nigh. Secondly, notice the promise of the rule of Christ, verses 26 and 27. If you're an overcomer, what is an overcomer? Well, by now you ought to know, because every time he comes to the end of one of these letters, he talks about to him that overcomes. An overcomer is a Christian, a believer in Christ. 1 John chapter 5, verse 5, who is it that overcomes but he that believes that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? So he said, if you're a believer in Christ, he said, one of these days you're going to rule and reign. By the way, I don't have time to go into this morning, but we'll look at that in Revelation chapter 20, because the Bible says the believers in Christ are going to rule and reign with him for 1,000 years. Thirdly, notice this, there's the promise of the radiance of Christ. Verses 28 and 29, Jesus said this. He said, I'm going to give him the morning star. The morning star. Just to summarize it for you, what is the morning star? That's Jesus. Revelation 22, verse 16. I oftentimes said the best commentary on the Bible is the Bible. And when you come to the end of Revelation, chapter 22, verse 16, it says, I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright, listen, and morning star. For those who will not listen to Jezebel and not be involved in the idolatry and the immorality, one of these days, Jesus is going to come again. One of these days, you're going to rule and reign with him. And one of these days, you're going to see Jesus in all his glory. Oh, what glory awaits me in heaven's bright city. When I get there, such sights I'll behold. A million scenes of rare beauty will demand that I view them. But Jesus will outshine them all. Mansions will glisten on the hills of glory. Happy reunions on streets of pure gold. An angel choir singing glad praises forever. But Jesus will outshine them all. Listen, heaven's not about streets of gold, gates of pearl, walls of jasper. Heaven's about seeing Jesus face to face. And when Jesus got through, he said, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." I wonder what that said to the church at Thyatira. It probably was judgment that some of them heard. Certainly when Jezebel heard her name. Can you imagine sitting in church one Sunday morning? "Hey, we got a letter from Jesus." Everybody's excited. "We got a letter from Jesus. Listen what Jesus said. He's praising us for our service, praising us for our faithfulness, praising us, praising over and over. Five things he praises us for. But you suffer, you tolerate that woman Jezebel." Now, I don't know where Jezebel was sitting on that Sunday morning. But I'm not a betting man, all right? But I would bet you every eye in the house went. And Jezebel went. And those who followed her, they knew it was over. But those who were faithful, I think they probably smiled through their tears because of what Jesus said. I often wonder too, well, what did old John hear? Remember, he's out there on the island of Patmos all by himself, getting this vision, writing all this down. I think that, don't you know that there were some long, lonely nights on that old rocky island? Don't you know there were some times that he looked up in the sky thinking, "God, where are you?" But early in the morning, he'd be watching for the morning star. And maybe it said to John, "Listen, one of these days, I'm going to see Jesus face to face. Because he is the bright and the morning star." But the bigger question is, what is he saying to you? What is he saying to me? You want to know heaven's your home? You know one of these days you're going to see Jesus face to face? And Bible, friend, you need to quit tolerating sin. You need to quit dabbling in sin. You need to repent of that. Get rid of that. God wants a pure church. You've never trusted Jesus as your Savior. You need to give him your heart. Friend, you can get baptized in this baptistry and every baptistry in Jacksonville. But if you've never asked Jesus to forgive your sin and be your Savior, you're lost and you're going to hell. Baptism does not wash away one single solitary sin. It is a picture that Jesus Christ has come into your life, changed your life. That's primary. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. Father, today, we need to hear. What are you saying to us today? What are you asking us to do today? God, there are people in this room who know you as their Savior. They claim to be your child, and in reality they are. But there are some of them been dabbling in sin. They've been tolerating that which you call intolerable. And God, I pray that you'd call us to repentance. And Lord, as you call us, I pray that our answer to you will be yes. Lord, there are those in this room today who have never placed their faith in you. They come to church. Maybe they belong to this church or some other church, but they couldn't share a testimony of when, where they gave their heart to Christ. God, I pray that today would be their day to say, this is my place, this is my time to give my life to Jesus Christ. God, I pray that there be people today who will be honest and be sincere and will do business with you. God, this is not just a normal Sunday morning. This is your day. You've brought us for this time and this place. Help us to yield to you today. Whatever you ask us to do. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Would you join me in standing, please? Every person standing. We sing our final song. Our pastors are down here at the altar area. Whatever it is God wants you to do, I'm going to invite you to come today. I'm going to ask you to come publicly today. Listen, Jesus died publicly on a cross for your sin. Surely you can take a stand publicly for him. So whatever he wants you to do, come, take one of our pastors by the hand. Just share with them, I need to get saved. Just share with them, I need to recommit my life. Just say to them, I want to come and join this church. Whatever it is God wants you to do, come do it right now while we sing.